Deep pattern downfield, touchdown Miami. What a throw, Devontae Parker.
Holy smokes, what a drive.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins official podcast network covering your team, your Miami Dolphins, each and every day. How's it going, everybody? It is Thursday. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and I'm here to bring you your daily dose of Miami Dolphins football. And on today's show, we are going to hear from Dolphins defensive end Shaq Lawson, Mr. Giggles himself. Great interview with the Dolphins defensive end, new free agent signing this offseason. We got plenty to talk to with Shaq. We're going to take a look back at the offseason, speaking of Shaq, and some of the moves and the contributions that have been made from new players on your Miami Dolphins football team. Plus, we'll hear from Coach Flores, a few players, and get the injury latest for Dolphins and Broncos on Sunday in Denver. All of that and more on this Thursday, November the 19th edition of the Drive Time Podcast.
That's another Miami Dolphins.
And Drive Time is brought to you by AutoNation. Hey Dolphins fans, the new year starts now at AutoNation. Let's skip the rest of 2020 and get to big new year savings on your favorite AutoNation Chevys, Fords, Toyotas, Hondas, and more. Shop safely at the AutoNation store near you or AutoNation.com and save now. Let's go ahead and kick off this Thursday edition of the Drive Time Podcast with Brian Flores' Thursday morning media availability. The hot topic right now you're seeing all over social media and different sports avenues is the Dolphins defense and the amoeba package and the unique versatility and flexibility of this defense. Coach Flores was asked about the amoeba defense, and it led into an answer that really just sparked the idea of creativity and how creativity is encouraged on this coaching staff with Josh Boyer, Chan Gailey, Danny Crossman, and of course all of the position assistants. Here's Coach Flores on the defensive looks from Josh Boyer and creativity on his staff.
I think Josh Boyer and our defensive staff, they do a really nice job of trying to come up with different schemes, ideas that, you know, to answer your question, we can handle. But we also feel like will be an issue for, for the offense. And again, we try to promote creativity here, really on all three sides of the ball. An outlandish idea to some, I think we try to be open. I try to be open to any idea from a football standpoint. And if we can get it and we can execute it, we'll give it a shot. And you know, that may be different from week to week, and it should be, because everyone gets to film, and I'm sure people have seen what we did last week and they've seen what we've done in previous weeks, and they prepare for them. And you try to give them something different. I think every team tries to do that. But I think our staff on all three sides, Chan obviously offensively, Danny in the kicking game, and Josh defensively, I try to let them be as creative as they can be, not try to hold them back from anything. But obviously, we got to be able to execute.
And how about some hockey talk from a guy that hasn't watched a game of hockey in a decade? I don't know. It's been a long time. But the Florida Panthers, and I am all about South Florida sports these days, made some big time news when they hired assistant general manager Brett Peterson to that position. The NHL's first assistant black general manager. He went to Boston College, Coach Brian Flores' alma mater, and Coach talked about that move and his support for South Florida sports. Apparently, he could not find his Florida Panthers hat this morning.
I was looking for my Florida Panthers hat this morning. Couldn't find it. So, yeah, I'm excited for Brett. You know, we went to school together. This is a smart, talented, they got a great hire there, and they're Matt Caldwell, he's someone I've been in contact with also. But I support the teams down here in South Florida, and been to a couple Panthers games. Looking forward to going to a few more, and they have all my support. I'm excited about the direction they're moving.
couple more here for Coach, and we'll do this one with Kyle Van Noy. Coach was asked about his availability for the game on Sunday and his overall health, and he did talk about Preston Williams and Miles Gaskin as well. He just mentioned both those guys are working as hard as they can to get back. The same is true for Kyle Van Noy, but I wanted to play this audio because he talked about the role of Van Noy on his defense a little bit.
You know, Kyle's like all the other guys. He's doing everything he can to get back as soon as he can. But we've got guys, he plays a number of roles. Linebacker, defensive end, he's inside, he's outside. Rusher and coverage. So it's almost, you got to get a couple guys to say, hey, you're Kyle on this play, you play this, Kyle's on the role on this play. So it's by committee. And we've got a few guys, a number of guys, whether it's Kamu, whether it's Ginkle, whether it's Egovan. We got a few different guys who can fill those roles, in practice, and hopefully not. But if we had to go that route in the game, I think our guys are ready to step up if that's the situation. But Kyle's going to do everything he can to get to be ready to play. It's important to him, and yeah, hopefully we get him back. National Football League, it's nicks and bruises happening everywhere. And look, we're not going to put nothing's more important than health and safety of our players, and we're not going to put anyone in a situation where they could do any further harm.
And speaking of that defense, if you guys read the Blitz this morning, we talked on the stat of the day about Miami's tackling at that safety position between Bobby McCain and Eric Rowe. And I was able to confirm this both on Pro Football Focus as well as Pro Football Reference, and actually asked Bobby yesterday on the podcast how much pride they take in their tackling and if it's something they have to continue to work on, or just what are some of the pillars and some of the staples of teams that are good tackling teams. And he talked on the podcast about how that's a staple of this defense. That's something we work on, not just in training camp, but every single day, each and every day, some might say. And so Bobby answered that question on the Wednesday edition of Drive Time, but Coach was asked about the growth and maturation and communication between Eric Rowe and Bobby McCain in this defense at their new-ish positions. I mean, it was last season, but still, for guys that have been pros for as long as those guys have, to make a position change 1 year after the fact, give or take, you want to check that progress. Coach Flores talked about both of those guys kind of coming together, growing together, but also the entire secondary as a whole and their communication skill set and how it's proved, or paid dividends, I should say, for that veteran group on the back end.
They've grown together over the course of the season. The communication's gotten better week to week. Not just between those two, but everyone in the secondary, second level at the linebacker position, D-line, really across the board from a communication standpoint. But, obviously it starts with those two, at the safety position. You're really talking to, obviously each other, but the corners, the linebackers, you get down in the front. I know Bobby's been down there quite a bit, so is Roe. You end up talking to some defensive ends. So their communication's vital, and I think they've both done a good job from that standpoint. And then just as far as their play, I think it's been solid also.
And you heard him talk about communicating to defensive ends. I thought that was a pretty cool note there, because you do sometimes see Eric Rowe come down and sneak inside the outside linebacker, even in what I've seen called a marble point front. Not that that matters to anybody out there, but I've seen it called that on different schemes. I don't know what Coach Flores calls it, but where you sneak the safety down inside the outside linebacker, the stand-up linebacker, to kind of take that C-gap on in the running game. We've seen Bobby McCain come down there and blitz off the edge and go up on the line of scrimmage and fall back into the deep single high safety look. So plenty of confusion, plenty of different looks they try to throw at the opposing quarterbacks, and I think it's working pretty well so far with Rowe and McCain on that back end. And so there you have Brian Flores' Thursday morning, November the 19th, media availability here on the Drive Time podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins podcast network. I referenced the Blitz article from Thursday morning. Want to go back to the top news article on Wednesday afternoon. And kind of one of the things I wanted to look at in that particular article was the import of contributions the Dolphins had this offseason, right? Because we all knew Dolphins entered the draft with 14 picks. They wound up making 11. After signing 10 free agents, they made a draft day trade for Matt Breida. They signed Kayvon Frazier. So all things told, you wind up with 23 player additions just in that offseason player acquisition period. And that doesn't include undrafted free agents, doesn't include like a Savon Ahmed, for instance, who was picked up midseason, or a Lynn Bowden who was acquired in September. So just looking at those players and their production, here's what the Dolphins got out of those guys. 5,502 snaps played. We're just nine games in. 5,500 snaps, seven touchdowns, 14 sacks, six takeaways, 240 tackles. And here's the big kicker. Here's why you only have seven touchdowns, because a lot of those resources were put into the offensive line, right? Austin Jackson, Eric Flowers, Ted Karras, Robert Hunt, Solomon Kinley, five new players on the offensive line. That's where a lot of your offensive resources went, outside of Tua Tagovailoa and a couple of running backs as well, with Matt Breida, Jordan Howard. The offensive line was the point of emphasis for the offense this offseason. So those guys, those five newcomers, not including Jesse Davis, who's kind of the old guard around here, the old hat, those five new guys, 1,107 snaps in pass, and that's in pass protection, I should say, not run blocking, just in pass blocking. They've allowed pressure on 4.5% of those collective pass rush snaps, 51 quarterback pressures on 1,107 pass blocking snaps. You talk about snap to release time for both Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa. The ball comes out. That's how this offensive system is designed. So what kind of guys do you want to put up front? Guys that can hold the point and get that clean pocket for Tua and for Fitz and the quarterback in the offense in general to get the football out of their hand quickly. That big size, that big girth up front certainly makes things harder on defenses to be able to slip past, and whether it's one gap penetration or running games up front and trying to get by that big, thick offensive line, especially on the interior. That makes it difficult, especially in that RPO game, the inside zone game, some of the stuff we see with the Dolphins getting the football out of their hands quickly and trying to kind of press the holes of running back and cut backside. We've seen Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed do just that. So these offensive line fit in the system, fit in the style of the offense, especially now, I think, with quarterback Tua Tagovailoa back there, with the kind of introduction, so to speak. I mean, it was there before, but a little more looks with the RPO game fits up well. So this offseason, the vision of Brian Flores and Chris Greer coming together to produce those stats, but it's not just the players that were added in that portion of the draft or in free agency. It's players from all sorts of different acquisition walks of life, so to speak. Adam Shaheen, a July trade acquisition, has a couple of touchdowns, is doing great work in the run blocking game. We talked about Lynn Bowden, acquired for a draft pick in September with Las Vegas Raiders. He's had some looks in the Wildcat and some receiver options and some screen passes, that type of thing. Talked about Savon Ahmed, 86 rushing yards on Sunday. Benito Jones has a big stop in the game. We go back to last season, Zach Sealer, Mac Hollins picked up off waivers in December. Mac Hollins, for my money, is one of the best gunners in the entire National Football League. He has been a monster on special teams. And not to mention, when Preston Williams comes out of the lineup, we talked about adapting to your personnel last week on the podcast. Mac Hollins goes into the game and fulfills kind of a quasi pseudo tight end role, where he comes in tight to the formation, works across the formation, and picks up the backside force defender in the running game. So he's doing all kinds of different roles on this team for a guy that you picked up off the street in last December. Zach Sealer gets the contract extension after beating the crap out of offensive lines basically for the past 12 or 13 games he's been a Miami Dolphin. It's been fun to watch this team come together, and the singular vision. Doesn't matter how you get here, first round draft pick, seventh round draft pick, undrafted, acquired otherwise, these guys are paying big dividends, whether it's Emmanuel Ogbah with the eight sacks or Tua Tagovailoa, the fifth pick in the draft, throwing five touchdown passes, no turnovers in his three starts, or a guy like I mentioned, like Adam Shaheen, brought over for a seventh round draft pick in July, catching touchdowns, doing work in the pass blocking game and run blocking game. It's been fun to watch the collective of this team come together. And, you know, I was thinking about this on my walk into the podcast studio this morning. It's not always about who stacks up the most stats. Do you make a big play? Did you help the team win the football game? Like, I was thinking about Patrick Laird in particular, his 17-yard rush on 3rd and 7. It's one play. You might forget it in the grand scheme of things, but that put the game away. That was what gave the Dolphins offense another series, another set of downs to continue running clock off in that Chargers game, and it essentially put the game away for the Dolphins. So it's not about the collection of stats. It's about 53 guys making enough plays, and when you can get Patrick Laird, a guy that was, I mean, he came into the game behind with Savon Ahmed and DeAndre Washington on the running back depth chart. Ahmed played the majority of the snaps, but Patrick Laird finds a way to make an impact there. He was on the punt block team and they got the punt blocked. So I just, it's fun to me to watch all 53 guys find contributions on this team, and that's been the case this year so far. Speaking of offseason acquisitions and guys the Dolphins brought in, Shaq Lawson was one of the premier signings of the offseason for the Miami Dolphins, coming down from the Buffalo Bills, former first-round draft pick. I had a chance to chat with Shaq on Wednesday for this Thursday edition of the Drive Time podcast, and it was fantastic. I'm just going to go ahead and play this for you guys because he is a riot, a character. We all knew that, but he also divulged to me kind of where that personality came from. He said at first he was a bit of a quiet kid, but we all, and you know, Brian Flores had a mention in his press conference this morning we didn't cover here in the podcast, where he was asked about some early influences on his life, and Flo basically said we've all had to overcome some type of adversity in our life. No one's is more important than someone else's, which I thought was a great quote. But Shaq had some significant adversity. He lost his father at 15 years old, and he talked about on the podcast how that was kind of the moment where he decided, I'm going to set a good example for my siblings and try to show them there's no bad days. And I thought that was a really cool portion of this interview. So let's go ahead and get to Shaq Lawson, talk about the highs and the lows, the laughs, the sad times, and the ability to overcome adversity, how he gets himself ready on game day. We talked about bubblegum, meditation, all kinds of stuff. Here is Shaq Lawson, a man of many words. And I am so excited now to be joined by my guest today, Dolphins defensive end Shaq Lawson. Shaq, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, 5-game winning streak, can't complain. It makes my job easier when you guys are out there getting the job done, and it makes it a lot of fun to watch you guys. So much appreciated, my friend.
Yes, sir. The fun is always in winning. Yes, sir.
So you know what else is fun? I got to know. So Travis Kelce had his dating show. How do we get Love Shaq off the ground?
See, man, I've been thinking about that. I'm glad you asked me that, man. I've been trying to look for anybody because, like, I got a great personality. I've got a great heart, you know. So I feel like I'm a communication major, too. So I feel like I'm ready to be on TV. And I want my own show, just like Travis Kelce, man. I want to work on that. So if anybody out there hear me today, man, I really would love to get my own show, man. That would be a great show.
Well, let's start developing it right now. What's the premise? Like, what's the general theme of the show? What are we going for?
See, yeah, I was thinking I had a little theme like how Travis Kelce little dating show, man. You know, I haven't found me a girlfriend or anything like that yet. So me going out there, you know, trying to experience and dating and, you know, just and have fun with it, doing it too, but it's serious time. It's a serious thing because eventually I got to be in a relationship, get married, get old, and things like that. But I've been thinking about that. I really want to do it so bad, and I feel like I'd be a great host because I'm a character. I'm very funny, and it would just be great, man. Okay. I could just see myself doing it.
So help me understand the show here. So Travis Kelce's show, he's trying to find himself a girlfriend or a date. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I think Travis Kelce was something similar to that. But yeah, me, I'm trying to find, you know what I'm saying, a girlfriend, somebody date. That's what my show want to be about. It's kind of like, you know, I'm going to give you an example of Flavor Flav back in the day. Something similar like that, but not too bad. You know, I still got to keep it PG, you know what I'm saying? But keep it like that, but something like that, you know, you know, they always say you find your wife and stuff in college. Like, but I went to Clemson 3.5 years. I did not find my wife or girlfriend. So hopefully if I can get this show off the ground, great, and get this going, this would be a great opportunity right here.
You gotta avoid the I love New York, you know, contestant on the show because they might be after their own nefarious purposes there. So you gotta keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm about to change that. Make sure I get that right.
Well, hey, let me give you some hope here. I actually met my wife, and no one can ever believe this. I met my wife on Tinder, man. Can you believe that?
Wait, for real?
Yeah. We were both in it for the right reasons. We weren't trying to do the whole, you know, we were trying to meet somebody, and it worked out for us.
Well, that's great, man. How long was this go?
Shoot.
Tinder just
Shoot, man. We've been together for about 5 years now, but I met her and we talked for a couple of weeks and then we finally decided to meet up and we had to like exchange Facebook information so we could make sure we both were real and all that stuff. It was kind of weird, but hey, it worked, man.
Hey, that worked, man. That's the first time I ever heard of that, though. That worked, man.
There you go. Perfect. So you mentioned your time back in college at Clemson, and I want to go back to that here in a second, but I want to go further back beyond that first. I did some research on you, Shaq, trying to find out some stuff about your life and personality. And man, you're a fascinating dude. And obviously the dating show certainly speaks to that as well. But you spent some time at Hargrove Military School and you didn't qualify originally academically at Clemson. And Dabo Swinney had a quote in there that said you were literally in tears. What did that moment and that kind of learning experience do for you as far as like motivation for your career, Shaq?
Yeah, man. When I got the call, man, it was weird. I had a weird, like, because I was enrolled at Clemson, but at the time, they told me I had to leave. So it was kind of, like you said, I was in tears, man. I really thought it was over for me. At the time, I'm not going to get qualified. I have to go to military school, and you know how military school panned out. There's some people can barely do military school. So I was thinking, man, this might be over for me. Might have to go back home and just do what people do at home. And so, but I knew I wanted to do something way just bigger than just being back home. I knew I had an opportunity to play in the NFL. I had an opportunity to get a college education at Clemson. Could be the first one in my family to go to college or even graduate high school type. So I knew it was way bigger than me. So Hargrove made me a man. I'm glad I didn't go to the route. Most freshmen, you go straight to college, you get thrown in the fire. Like, going to Hargrove, it just made me better. Like, getting up from workouts in the morning was nothing. Like, making sure I was organized and things like that. It really wasn't a problem for me as a freshman coming to college because I already had that mindset when I was doing the military life, because you weren't just going to school, you was doing military life, going to school, playing football, you were doing all three of that. So, I mean, that was just a great experience, man. I never take that away from anything. I tell people every day that Hargrove experience made me the man I am today.
That had to have helped prepare you for a Brian Flores program and playing under Brian Flores, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It, man, I feel like every level of ball I'm played at, man, it's just been a tough program, just structure light. So Clemson was similar like that. Going to Buffalo was like that. I even had the crazy coach from Hard Knocks 1 year from the Rams Hard Knocks as yeah. my D-line coach. Yeah. So I experienced a lot of things, man. So, I mean, that helped me a lot for flow program because I know how he liked to run his things and stuff like that. It's strictly business.
Yeah, Shaq, and you know, there's no easy way to transition to this next topic, but I guess I'll try. And I know that Coach Flores recently, you know, had lost his mother to cancer, and that was something he talked about openly. The other day was the 5 year anniversary of me losing my mother, so. You're in good company here, my friend. And the next subject, again, a tough one to talk about. But on that story on The Athletic, you spoke about losing your father at a young age and kind of having to step up and to fill some responsibilities of taking care of your siblings, things like that. What would you say that adversity did to kind of help shape the man that you are today?
Man, that adversity, man. They said everything happened for a reason. You know, that was a tragic part of my life when I got the news and found out everything that happened. And then the fact that somebody knew things like that. But, man, it was tough at times, man. It was tough because I used to wake up every day thinking, like, how I'm going to lead my brothers and sisters yeah. in the right directions. So getting up every morning thinking about that was the hard part of my life. I didn't want them to see no bad signs, no, not the wrong way to do it. So, man, I just took the approach as a 15-year-old, man. It was my time to step up because my mom was in the hospital for, people don't know this, my mom was like in the hospital for five, 5 months because she was in a car accident too,
okay.
recovering. So me and my sister had played a part of, because we just had one brother just literally born, like 1 year old. So that just made me realize you can't take life granted, man. Everything is important. Like at the time before that even happened, man, I was like, that led me to going to Hargrave. I had bad grades. I was a kid that getting in trouble. The kid is hanging around with the wrong crowd. After that, that turned my whole life around. Like I looked at life different from that experience that I went through, some adversity I had faced in life.
Now, see, that to me makes the, and I'm sure you've seen them all over social media. Your teammates talk about it. You obviously live at Shaq. The laugh, man. The laugh that is super contagious, whether or not someone knows you or sees it on a video. I think that hearing that part of your story and seeing you be able to come out on the other side and be the happy, jovial, go-lucky guy that you are, it's inspiring, man. It's cool to watch. And like you said, there was many days where I woke up thinking, like, I don't know if I can do this anymore because, like, you know, that's a big part of my life that's now gone, but you fight through, you persevere, and to see you having fun and doing what you love, man, it's freaking awesome. That's the only way I can put it. And so just kudos to you for that, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Of course. So I want to stay on that topic of the laugh, and I had to ask Coach about it this morning. I wanted to ask him, you know, he's a serious guy. You see him around. He's usually got, you know, a pretty serious look on his face. And I asked him about what Shaq's personality does to kind of help keep the mood light around the building. And he said this, he said, they're young guys. They want to have fun. They want to laugh and they joke around with each other and they joke around with the coaches and we joke back. And Shaq is full of life. Shaq's got a great laugh apparently. And he's a lot of fun to be around. And you don't want to temper that as a coach. You want to let him be himself and bring his energy to the rest of the group. They feed off of it. And I think it makes us a better team. So how do you respond to that quote? And also, how do you flip the switch from a guy that's loose and joking around to business?
Oh, man. You know, it's a time and a place you got to be able to switch it, you know. That's why, man, it's important to get wins throughout the week, man. Wins every Sunday so I can have a reason to go laugh. So nobody won't be mad. But, yeah, man, it's a time and place to be serious, you know. When I'm on them lines, it's all business. But at the same time, you got to have fun doing it, man. I've been in this league my fifth year, and I've been around players and myself. Like, this league can stress you out if you let the league stress you because you've got too much on your plate. So, I just sit back, man, like I'm saying, man, all the adversity I face, man, and having the opportunity to wake up every morning to do what I love, man, I got to smile, man. I got to smile and always laugh, be the guy, just, you know what I'm saying, bring joy, man, because, man, it could be the opposite around, man. I always try to put myself in other people's shoes, man, if I wasn't in the NFL. So that's how I live every day, and I always keep a smile on my face.
We've got Dolphins defensive end Shaq Lawson here on the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. And speaking of serious and business time, your defensive line coach is all business, man. Marion Hobby, I talk about Brian Flores being serious. Marion Hobby scares me when I see that massive human being walking around the facility. But you and him go back, way back to Clemson, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. He was there my first year when I got to Clemson. And, man, when you said that, you said Hobb scare you, the Cobb in college was so crazy, man. Like, it was worse, man. Like, it was bad. So he kind of cooled down. But, man, that played a role while I came in. You know, I had a great relationship with him, Kristen, and Tankersley at the time. People didn't know this. Coach J. Tankersley was a part of the team. But people didn't know this, man. Me and him was roommates at Hargrave. So we had a relationship, so I had a great relationship down here. And then when I was playing those guys two times a year in the division, man, I know these guys work hard, man. I knew Flo had those guys in the right direction, man. I just wanted to be a part of it.
I do want to come back to that decision to sign with Miami, but first, you mentioned Christian Wilkins. Man, has he always been this big of a goofball, and did he maybe kind of learn it from you that 1 year at Clemson back in 2015?
He always been a goofball. As a freshman, he really didn't say much, but he started opening up, But Christian was always a goofball, big kid, man. He like me, man. Like, I guess we feed off each other, for real, because he a guy to get going laughing and joking around. But, you know, things like that, we can get serious. But, I mean, having him around, man, playing with him again is just great, man.
So you mentioned coming out of Clemson, going to the NFL draft, first-round pick, Shaq Lawson, to Buffalo, now in Miami. And at the scouting combine, Shaq, back in Indianapolis, you said your best rush move was the inside spin. Is that still the case?
Man, I ain't did it or something. I think I did it one time a couple years ago, and I think I had hurt my groin. And I just stopped doing it. But, man, I don't know. I need to get back to that move, man. You can put me another move back in my head. I need to get back to, you know. I changed the game up a little bit. But, man, I'm about to get back to that move. Thanks for reminding me for that.
Hey, if I see a sack or a quarterback knockdown on the inside spin, I'm taking credit for that thing, baby.
Hey, man, yeah, take credit, man. I'm giving you all the credit for it.
I'm just kidding, man. It's all you. It's all you out there. Speaking of credit for sacks, another teammate enjoying a lot of success of yours right now up front is Emmanuel Ogbah. And one of my favorite clips from the offseason was you talking about how heavy his effing hands are. That was hilarious to me. But earlier this week, he talked to us about putting in more time and effort and money into taking care of his body. And I read in a story last year on The Athletic that you took up meditation. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I'm back meditating. Yeah, man, I started off this season not meditating, but man, I've been back on it lately. And yeah, man, you gotta take care of that body, man. This is a long season, man. With a lot going on, how this season is this year, man. It's just a little bit different season, so you gotta take more extra care of your body and things like that, man.
What does your meditation routine look like? Like, I don't really know much about it. Like, I know there's a mantra you're supposed to whisper to yourself.
So Monday, I just plan out Monday, you know, I'm going to just have myself time, being in the dark by myself, listen to some music. But I'm planning out the week. I'm planning out the week that I'm trying to see how my Monday going to go throughout this day. Tuesday, just planning out my week before I get there, you know, what the things I got to do, the things I got to do to get better at. And then I do meditate throughout the week, do what I got to do during the week. And I meditate about the game and visualize plays I can make. And that had a big success for me last year because I was seeing stuff before what happened, but I was just relaxed, calm, you know. You got that time by yourself, man. It's good for your body, man. It's good stress for your body, so you should try it out, man.
Especially nowadays when you're always around a phone or a computer or a TV and you're always kind of engaged, to be able to turn that stuff off and just have a moment of silence, I think it's invaluable. So that's cool to hear, especially when you talk about envisioning the rest of your week. That gives you a good leg up on things, absolutely. Let's circle back now to something you mentioned about playing this team twice a year and seeing Coach Flores. There was an article before free agency, which you would, of course, wind up signing here with the Dolphins. But how, if at all, would you say that your perspective and expectation of what the Dolphins might be this year when you signed back in March has changed now here in November?
Oh, no, it's the same. I signed intentions to win, be winning, and it's a young team and be a part of a great young team. And it's been going good. It's been going good lately, man. You know, just we've been taking 1 week at a time. And you winning and you're in South Florida, man. You can't get nothing better than that.
Yeah, that's damn right. My first year in South Florida, I love it down here, even with not being able to do much. Just the weather alone is perfect. But, you know, speaking of good weather, and you talked about it earlier, you did, of course, come over from Buffalo. And back in week two, Shaq, Tre'Davious White was asked at a press conference, what's the biggest difference in the locker room without Shaq being there? And he said there's a lot more bubble gum in the locker room. What's your go-to gum, man?
The big box, man. They had gave me something that's crazy. Buffalo had gave me a box of that week too. It's the big boxes. What's the big box gums, man? You got the little plain yellow flavor in, but you got the other flavors with like the multiple flavors in. So I used to eat I used to have about 20 pieces of gum in my pocket during practice and things like that. So, man, I used to take all that gum.
Just keeping that jaw strong at all times.
Yep.
So you can talk that trash, man. I love it. But before you got into a couple more questions for you here, Shaq. Before you got, you know, to the football realm. You were kind of a monster on the hardwood. We talked about this back in March when you signed about being teammates with DeAndre Hopkins, but I have to imagine you would compare your game to the guy you're named after, right? Shaquille O'Neal, is that not who you're named after?
Oh, yeah, I'm named after him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that your player comparison?
Yeah, yeah, especially for the basketball part. Yeah, I used to mark my game just like him, his. That's why my dad gave me his name and stuff like that. They were big Shaquille O'Neal fans. And I actually had an opportunity coming out, like, talking with Shaquille O'Neal about how I got my name. Because I had waited like 3 days after I was born to get a name. And I got Shaquille. And I told Shaq about the story. We ended up connecting with each other. Ended up having a great talk. And I still hear from time to time.
You throw that drop step on him and slam that thing down. I'm picturing you getting the ball in the post, throwing the drop step and throwing that thing down.
You need to look at the high school tape, man. That high school take is serious.
I'll pull it up on YouTube and we'll get it out to the fans here shortly. Shaq, I appreciate your time today, man. It's been a lot of fun to watch you play, to watch you truly enjoy what you do, man. Again, like I said, it's so much fun to watch that. And best of luck to you on Sunday, the rest of the year, and stay healthy, okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Shaq. Thanks a lot. And there he goes, Dolphins defensive end Shaq Lawson. How great was that? Let's go ahead and try to finish up this podcast with some player media availability. We'll get to injuries later as well. Let's go ahead and start here first with Dolphins rookie receiver Malcolm Perry, who was asked about what's the biggest improvement he's made from his first game, from first getting to Miami as a bright-eyed rookie to now 11 weeks into his rookie campaign. Where has he made the most improvement?
I think probably just knowledge of what's going on as a defense. In college, everything was a lot more simple, obviously, but just getting a better feel for what's going on, what's going on defense and offense, just the whole scheme, what my role is in that scheme and what I need to do to make sure I'm successful and the offense as a unit is successful. So
let's go ahead and jump from one rookie to the next and hear from Brandon Jones. I asked him if he gets excited like Christmas morning each week when he gets the game plan to see how much am I going to be involved? What are we doing this week? Is it exciting with all the versatile packages the defense has? Here's the rookie, Brandon Jones.
I do. It's definitely exciting with this coaching staff and just the defensive scheme that we run. Like I said, just how versatile we could be and how many different packages that we have. It's always fun just to see kind of for my position, just to see where I'll be lined up this week. My certain job description this week versus what it was last week and just being able to adjust. That's one thing. One big thing that I'm still kind of trying to learn each week is just to be able to master my job description and be able to carry that on a consistent basis from week to week.
Let's go ahead and keep it on the rookie train here and hear from Dolphins left tackle Austin Jackson, who was asked by me about the matchup with Bradley Chubb, what Chubb does well, and how to attack the Broncos' leading sacker and quarterback pressures pass rusher off that side of the offensive line.
He also has some size and speed on him as well. So I would say the biggest thing for him would just be to get down the middle of him, try to center myself up with him so I can be in a good position. To react to any move, to any initial or counter move, because he will throw a counter move after his initial rush.
And you might have heard Austin's dog Pluto, who was going to town on that chew toy during his press conference today. Different world here with COVID-19 being a part of our lives, players doing their Zooms from home. Let's go ahead and finish up here with Jerome Baker. I had a question for Jerome about keying the offensive substitutions and how that can help you prepare for the snap coming ahead.
Yeah, you definitely have time, and if you don't have time, you've got to make time. They definitely have two unique backs, and what I mean by that is, you have to do your homework of who's in the game because you can eliminate or kind of have anticipation of what they're trying to do with that back. And for us, that's been our goal with pretty much anybody we face. You got to know who's in the game. You got to know who you're going against. What do they do well? What do they struggle with, and play accordingly. So you definitely have enough time, but you really got to just really just know your stuff.
And so there we have it. The Thursday edition of the Drive Time Podcast got you caught up on all the latest around the Miami Dolphins with that Shaq Lawson interview as well. Go ahead and check out the feature up on MiamiDolphins.com as well as today's top news story. Plenty of content for you guys each and every day here on the podcast, MiamiDolphins.com, social. We are everywhere. In the meantime, that's going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Go ahead and leave us a rating, leave us a review. Give me a follow on Twitter. It's at WingfieldNFL. You can follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank and the Audible podcast. And of course, one last time, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up.